Welcome to Garden Talk with your local growing experts from Booklift Gardens, where we help you grow.
Well, good morning, everyone. Along with Steph Griggs, I'm Mona Dyer, and this is Garden Talk, brought to you by Booklift Gardens,
where we help you grow.
We're going to be talking about gardening today. If you've got a question, something on your mind, something we can help you with, please give us a call. Our number is 245-1100-245-1100. Well, it seems like it's going to be soggy today.
It does. You know, it's cold enough to be wintry, but it just feels like spring. And the birds were singing, just like that music that comes on from Booklift Gardens.
The birds think that spring is here.
Well, the time change that tells them.
Yeah, murky. Do they watch the clock?
I think so. I think so. They're like, oh, the time change is spring now.
Oh my gosh. You know, the sky is pretty lead colored this morning.
It is soggy. Good term.
Yeah,
but
a little
what
soggy.
About that moisture?
Oh gosh, that was so lovely, so lovely. Right now, a nice bump of moisture this week in the valleys. Officially for the month of March, we've had 2/3 of an inch of rain. Still just a teensy bit behind average. So far for the year, though, we are making up some ground. We're just a little below average, only 0.13 of an inch behind. The high country, though, and the Front Range, goodness sake.
I've heard stories about the Front Range.
They
60 inches of snow in places?
In the foothills and in the mountains.
Yeah.
Closer to the Front Range, they really got pounded. Castle Rock, I've got a friend over in Castle Rock. He's got a big pickup truck. The whole bed of his pickup truck was full of snow.
Oh, my goodness.
So he's out there. He's got the driveway all cleaned out.
Uh-huh.
But then he's thinking, well, should I go ahead and unload the bed of the truck?
Yeah, where am I going to put this?
Right. He would have wound up having to redo the driveway again. Just leave it. It'll go.
Yeah.
But boy, they really, really got a thumping on this one.
I heard a couple of ski areas like Loveland and A Basin maybe had to even close
because
it was too much snow.
Yeah, so much snow.
So
and also
much.
I think the wind was really playing playing with them. I-70 was closed for quite a while, Wednesday into Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
The San Juans got a good beating. We had a truckload of trees, big trees, come in from New Mexico. The truck driver, God bless him, he must have been looking at Google Maps instead of knowing what he was really doing. He tried to do Red Mountain Pass on Thursday. Took him 6 hours.
Oh gosh.
It was I think not a fun time for this man.
It could not have been.
Not a fun time for this man.
No.
He told our yard hands a couple of pretty harrowing bits of information.
Oh,
he did get here safely, thank goodness.
Good.
But
good.
And at night. He was doing it at night.
That even worse.
Yeah. So, you know,
I'm glad he got
the angels
safely.
were watching for him. Soggy today, only looking for highs in the mid 50s. We do expect to clear out a little bit tomorrow, looking for highs near 60. Next week, it'll be mostly sunny with highs in the low 60s. We will have another chance of moisture by this time next weekend. So,
nice.
It's all good.
Yeah.
I wandered out through the garden this morning just to see what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was cold enough to have a pretty hard frost out there, walking out through the garden, you can tell that the ground has really begun to thaw.
It's pretty soppy.
Yeah.
Things are starting to pop.
Yeah. The naked ladies out there are now up. They are about 6 inches tall right now. The garlic is about 6 inches tall.
Wow, mine's half that.
Yeah, it's pretty tall.
Yeah.
I have lilac bushes that are leafing out.
Mm-hmm.
who else is waking up? And
the rabbit brush is green.
Yeah, the rabbit brush is starting to wake up. So, it's spring.
Sage.
Spring is springing.
Yeah, it's springing.
It is springing.
Yay.
What's happening in your garden?
You know, just things are popping up. The iris,
noticed. Yeah, the iris. They're they're waking up.
Yes, and crocus and the daffodils and everything's kind of poking through. And the thing I'm the most excited is I planted some grape hyacinth bulbs.
I love them.
I do too. And when growing up, my grandmother's sidewalk was lined with them.
Oh.
And that just fascinated me. And so I put a good, top layer of soil pap, and I thought, oh my gosh, are they ever going to? And sure enough, they're starting to pop.
Here they are.
So I'm excited.
Yes, and it won't be very long before those little beauties are going to be blooming and just doing beautifully.
Yes.
You know, we had at the garden center at the end of the season last year, we had some spring flowering bulbs packaged that hadn't sold. And so rather than ditch them, Haley, our greenhouse manager, rounded up all those bulbs, took them in the back, put them into pots of soil, and just kind of set them aside in a cold greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Well, lo and behold, here, about a week or so ago, she comes running in. She says, oh, my gosh, we've got to do something about this. not only because we needed the bench space, but because these plants, these bulbs, came alive. They've popped up green leaves. So she quickly moved them out into the breezeway. Mm-hmm. So for anyone who might be looking for, they would be called a Dutch bulb garden. Mm-hmm. They're just bulbs that have been forced in pots.
Mm-hmm.
Stop by because we've got a couple benches of things. Some are only the leaves right now, so they haven't bloomed. Others of them, there are some hyacinths that are already in bloom.
They smell so good.
Oh, they just smell phenomenal. Just
they
such
do.
A lovely fragrance.
Yes.
Stop by. We've got them this year. And it was just kind of
it's
by
fun
accident.
To see.
It was by accident that we have them.
Yeah, because I thought we brought them in because I was like, where did these come from? And then.
Nope.
Mona told me.
Nope, that's what
Haley
happened. Haley did the thing. Mm-hmm. So it's great fun.
Just in time for Easter.
Yeah,
would
just
that be
in
fun?
Time. They're just lovely.
Yeah.
We got a couple truckloads of nursery stock in this week.
Mm.
We got the big load of trees of the lovely gentleman that braved Red Mountain Pass.
Right.
Those trees arrived. And in that load, there are some lovely ornamental flowering trees.
Mm-hmm.
There are some big shade trees, things including, what is there? There are some sensation box elders.
Oh, nice.
There are some honey locust trees.
Mm-hmm.
There are also some flowering pears. And some, what else? I believe there are some crab apples on there.
Yes.
Now, these trees
we have magnolias, too, in the breezeway.
Yeah, the magnolias and crab apples that are in the breezeway are already flowering.
Yes.
Walking down that breezeway is like walking through just a magical garden.
It's just
beautiful.
I was gone a couple of days at the first of the week, and when I came back, it's like, what happened?
Yeah,
it's spring.
It's beautiful. Oh,
right. It is
just
gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
The trees that came in, the big bald and burlap trees, it'll take a few days to get those standing up. When they take them off the truck, because these trees are, their root systems are wrapped in big balls of burlap and then with a wire cage, they don't have a flat bottom on them, so they don't stand up.
So they have to lay down.
They just kind of lean over a little.
Mm-hmm.
So it will take a few days for us to get them lined out and stood up in big berms of soil, and then get their little water systems to them. So
it's quite a process.
It is. I suspect that probably by the middle of next week, those fresh trees will be ready for folks to come out and shop. It'll be ready to go. Now these trees, they're pretty good sized trees. The trunks on these guys are about 2-inch caliper trunks at waist height. So they're big trees already.
They are big.
Yeah. This is immediate satisfaction.
Yes.
No time required to have a big tree on these guys. They're big.
Which is nice. Yeah. Some people want that.
Right.
A good start.
The immediate gratification on those.
Soon.
Right. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Nothing wrong with that. We have, we are continuing with our spring classes. Today,
what is it today, Mona?
Today's class is pruning roses. Jess Crane is teaching the class today. I believe the class is already completely full. Jess has put together a brand new snazzy presentation on this one. So we're pretty excited to have this one launch. And Jess is she is a CCNP. That's a Colorado Certified Nursery Professional, and she does just a brilliant job of teaching these classes.
Yes.
Jess is also the person who has kind of taken over doing house calls for us. Mm-hmm. House calls are a service that we provide for customers who purchase warrantied nursery stock. That's trees and shrubs, roses, things that are out in the nursery. And when people take these plants home and plant them, you know, most of the time everything goes fine. The plants perk along, they are happy, healthy, everything is doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while there will be an issue.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, the plant starts acting like it doesn't feel well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not happy.
It might not be getting water properly.
Something is out of whack.
Yeah.
So Jess is the person who goes out to the home, to the planting site here in the valley, and she will troubleshoot what might be going on. She can tell whether or not it's being appropriately watered. She can tell whether or not it was appropriately planted. She can tell whether or not it is maybe planted in a spot that is making it unhappy.
Right. If there are pests involved.
Right. All of those things. And for the first year that plant is in the ground at the customer's house, this house call is a free service.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of our warranty on our plants for that first year.
Mm-hmm.
She also will do house calls for plants that are older than than a year, but there is a service fee for that. But Jess is whip smart.
She's
whip smart.
On it.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Really, really lucky to have her.
Yeah.
So she's teaching the class today.
And speaking of pruning roses, I'm a member of the Desert Vista Garden Club, and for our February meeting, I believe. And the club takes care of the roses at Lincoln Park. And so one of the members wanted to do a demonstration for the pruning roses. So I grabbed one out of the greenhouse and it got a nice little pruning. I brought it back to Bookliff. I was supposed to put it back in the greenhouse, but it was in my car and I was in a hurry to leave that night. And I just set it in the flower bed of the landscape and I totally forgot about it. And then, you know, like 3 weeks later, I go to park and I'm like, there's that rose bush. And do you know what? It is green. It is starting to grow.
Yep.
It looks great. And it's just been sitting. So it's, you know, it's kind of time to prune your roses now.
Yep. And that's the thing. Roses are quick on the draw when you prune them. Anytime you prune a rose, roses are notorious. You prune them and it becomes a growth stimulant. And so you give them a haircut and the next thing you know, they are flushed out with brand new growth.
Yeah.
And in the springtime, that's not a huge problem. But in the fall, when we're going into a long stretch of cold.
Right.
Because if you prune them too early and they push out a whole bunch of brand new fluffy green stuff, and then we get a great big deep freeze, then we really run the risk. Run the risk of hurting them.
Yeah.
Roses are not the smartest at
yes,
all.
Yes, we have to outsmart them.
Yeah, we just need to kind of trick them a little
we
bit.
We do.
Trick them.
Yes.
So lots of stuff going on as far as the Greenhouse and Garden Center, and we'll talk more about that when we come back. Along with Steph Griggs, I'm Mona Dyer. This is Garden Talk, and we'll be right back.
Tired of having to get out of your vehicle to open and close your gate every time you drive through, especially when the weather's bad? Let England Fence and Montrose make your life easier. They can install automatic security gates that offer extra protection and a great look. You can customize your gates with your name, elk, or pine tree designs, or whatever you'd like. Plus, you get professional installation and a full warranty. England Fence, your year-round, full-service fence company, serving the entire Western Slope. Visit them online at englandfence.com.
Hi, I'm Chase, owner of Carbon Computers, Grand Junction's first lifetime warranty computer and 3D printing supply store. Our computers are hand-assembled with reliability in mind, and we back that reliability up with our lifetime service warranty. Whether it's refurbished or new, you'll be sure to have a computer that lasts. We also offer trade-in credit, 12-month special financing, and repair services. Come in today, no appointment needed, for a free evaluation, virus scan, or cleaning on your computer. Visit us at 2923 North Avenue, number 8A, or carboncustomcomputers.com.
I want you to imagine we're building words. Let's take the word desk. Now, unlike certain Swedish furniture stores, we're not building an actual desk. We're just building the word desk. We've got our letters, D-E-S-K, and look at that, we have a desk. Now let's try building this word again, but this time the S is going to take a little while to get here. Let's see, D-E-K, and there's the S. D-E-K-S, desk. Wait, that's not right. This is an admittedly crude example of dyslexia. When certain letters or sounds take longer to process than others, resulting in them getting mixed up when written out. Children with dyslexia can have a harder time at school, and there's often a stigma attached to dyslexia that makes it that much harder. Dyslexia Foundation of Western Colorado has resources for parents and teachers to help children get tested for and cope with dyslexia. Diagnosis can be vital to a child's long-term success. Learn more at dyslexiaco.org.
A message from NBC Grand Radio, supporting our community.
Life is filled with many paths. But for Native American children, the most important path is the one that leads them out of poverty.
It's a path that led me here, to St. Joseph's Indian School.
It's where I came to grow and learn. Find care, love, and support. Stay healthy and safe. And make friends that last a lifetime.
For almost 100 years, St. Joseph's Indian School has been giving Native American children a path out of poverty through education, love, and support. And 96% of St. Joe's students graduate high school. That's 10% higher than the national average.
St. Joseph's Indian School is our path to a brighter future.
Learn more at stjo.org today.
This is your Western Slope Community Calendar. The Dyslexia Foundation of Western Colorado presents their 8th Annual Learning Symposium. That's going to be April 6th, 8:45 a.m. to 2:45 p.m. It'll be held at the CMU Wellness Center, 1060 Orchard Avenue. To register and further information, go to dyslexiaco.org/events. Again, that website, dyslexiaco.org/events. If your group or organization has an event, send it at least 3 weeks in advance. Email it to psa@gjradio.com.
By supporting Rivers Edge West, you are supporting your community. We are a nonprofit, so we're donor supported. Donations to Rivers Edge West will support everything from connecting youth in our community to rivers, to supporting our volunteer events, to getting more native plants back in the ground. You can visit our website at riversedgewest.org and invest in rivers by making a donation.
To find out more and learn how you can help, visit riversedgewest.org.
No one's immune from misinformation, but if you want the facts, then you're in the right place.
What is true?
What is true?
News Radio 1100 KNZZ.
Welcome back to Garden Talk with your hosts from Booklift Gardens.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Along with Steph Griggs, I'm Mona Dyer. We're talking about gardening this morning. If you've got a question, something on your mind, call us. We'd love to chat with you. Our number is 245-1100, 245-1100. Well, getting things lined out at the garden center and out in the nursery where the trees and the shrubs are, it's quite the process.
Yes, and the greenhouses are filling up.
They truly are.
The perennials are outside now.
Yep, they have been taken outside. We cut their little cord and put them outside. And even though they got some weather on them shortly after they went outside.
Right. And I think that happened maybe Sunday or Monday. I was gone.
Yep.
And that greenhouse is already...
It's already full.
It's already full of marigolds and veggies. And I mean, there's tomato plants. And,
they just... Whoa. We really needed that bench space.
And you know what? If anybody needs some coal crops... We have some beautiful coal crops,
right.
Lettuce and cabbage and broccoli and cauliflower. Yeah, you should come on down.
Pick them up and poke them into the soil.
So beautiful that I walk by and I want to clip them and just have my salad for lunch. I might do that. Just scavenge a few of them and
you know,
baby greens.
Who's going to tell you no? You know,
exactly.
You wander through like you own the place.
Dang,
man. So in places like the perennials, where a lot of the stock is already out on the bench, we are still in the process of getting our signs and things out.
Mm-hmm.
And for those that are maybe not familiar, or maybe for folks that have visited Book Cliff in the past, maybe you've seen the big signs that we have virtually with all of the plants that we have outside.
Mm-hmm.
Those signs are a great help if you understand what they are telling you.
Mm-hmm.
We are the ones who make those signs.
We do.
We do the research mm-hmm. on the signs. We know what the plants, that particular plant, will do here in Western Colorado.
Right.
And that's the information that is put on the signs.
Whether it needs full sun, shade, how tall it's going to be,
whether or not
it's going to bloom.
Right. Whether or not it likes to be in a sunny spot, whether or not it likes to be in a spot that's dry
mm-hmm.
or mm-hmm. you know, a little more moist.
Right. Right.
And it's based on the perspective of here in the high desert.
Yes.
A lot of times if a gardener is doing their research online, they will look up a plant, and the information that they find is information that comes from the perspective of where a plant is being grown. What's the perspective of that particular website?
Right.
The signs that you find at Book Cliff Garden,
yes,
are things that we know, is the information that we know is accurate for the plant growing here.
Right, right. I'll tell you another secret.
Mm-hmm.
Those signs are amazing for our customers, but they are amazing.
They are
so helpful for the employees.
They are. Yes. It's not only a visual cue for staff members who are still learning mm-hmm. plant material, mm-hmm. but
it might be rusty from the winter.
Right. It's like having 7 acres of reference material at the ready all the time.
Yeah. And it's a big job for our employees. So Carol has worked at Book Cliff for a very long time,
mm-hmm.
and she was the one that was in charge of all the signs. And Rick and I in the beginning were like, signs? Why would there be a person that works so hard and so many hours to make signs? But boy, did we figure it out really quickly.
Right.
And then she's not working quite as much. So Jess, the same person that's teaching the rose pruning and who does our house calls, she's the one that's been...
Right. She has taken over. She has taken over producing the signs, making sure that signs are made for new plant varieties that are coming in.
Right.
And that information is updated for different stock that we typically do carry.
And we do have signs that blow away. We're always chasing down.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll be running across the parking lot trying to stomp on a sign to keep it from blowing away.
It's an odd little dance.
It is.
We find them everywhere.
We do. And it's for the trees, for the perennials, for the shrubs. and for all the vegetables and flowers, mm-hmm. annuals inside too.
So. Right. So those signs, they have a particular use, and
right.
and a lot of effort goes into
right.
getting those done, so that when customers come,
mm-hmm.
If you are someone who likes to kind of browse and mm-hmm. shop on your own,
mm-hmm.
it's a way for you to be able to accomplish that without having somebody like me come and pester
right.
you.
Right, exactly.
So
yeah. And another exciting thing that happened this week is, well, we were overwintering some trees and shrubs in the far west greenhouse.
Mm-hmm. 3W.
Yes, 3W. And that's
no,
where...
No, 3E. 3E.
It's the east. See,
right.
See, I'm so good at directions. It's east. So those all got moved out the first of the week. And then, like magic, all the benches get put back up. And our custom area just... came to life. And those horses that we have that people love to see, they're planted up, and they'll be here till probably the week before Mother's Day.
Right.
So if you're in
Iron Biscuit
down,
and the baby.
Iron Biscuit had a baby.
Iron Biscuit has a baby.
Right. So there's two.
So for those that might be wondering what the heck we're talking
yes.
about, Iron Biscuit is a metal topiary.
Mm-hmm.
That is chicken wire,
mm-hmm.
and it gets planted up with annual plant material.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the color scheme is this year.
There's some black-eyed Susans. I know that.
But watching this mm-hmm. planter
mm-hmm.
take shape every year is just an absolutely fascinating
yes.
thing to have happen.
Because they plant grass for the mane and the tail, and
it's amazing. It's amazing. All righty, we've got a caller on line one. Good morning, line one. How can we help?
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
My asparagus is coming up.
That's exciting.
Good for you.
And I was wondering what the longevity of an asparagus patch is.
You know, as long as that asparagus patch is well tended in the off season, that asparagus patch will last you for decades.
Okay. Well, I learned from you, Mona, so it's going to be around for a while.
Yep. That asparagus patch will last for decades.
I'll be darned.
Yep. Did you, and you've already cut down your ferns?
Yep. I cut the ferns back, watered, and put a layer of almost soil compost on top a couple weeks ago.
That's perfect. Now, what you might want to do is give a light fertilization, just a little bit of nitrogen fertilizer, and then do keep it watered. Harvest your asparagus, you know, keep it picked until maybe the end of June. When you start seeing the little asparagus spears, when they start to get a little bit thinner and kind of puny looking, that's when you want to stop and then give it another really good dose of nitrogen fertilizer so that you can push some more of those big ferns. Because it's the ferns growing through the course of summer, and then in the fall, the nutrition that's built in the ferns works its way backward into the root system.
Right. And then I have another question about planting nursery table grapes. So do you have to cut them back and wait for root development for the first couple of years, or are they already, they have enough root system in the pot to go ahead and let them bear grapes the first season, or... how does that work?
So on containered grapes for table grapes, I would, if it were mine, I would let that plant get itself settled in real well before I would ask it to produce much in the way of a grape crop. You mm-hmm. could certainly leave a couple clusters on there so that you can kind of tell what life is going to be like once that grape really goes into big production.
Mm-hmm.
But allowing that plant to really get itself settled in well before you ask it to expend the energy on the fruit, I think is really you're doing better by the plant if you allow it to settle some before you ask it for production.
Okay, so wait at least one season, you would recommend?
I would.
Okay.
And don't be afraid to let, you know, a couple little clusters hold. But I've seen little teeny plants in number one pots set a whole bunch of grapes, you know, little grape clusters. And I just think to myself, oh, sweetheart, you're wearing yourself out.
Yeah. Oh. All right. Thank you so much, ladies.
You're
Have
welcome.
A great day.
You
Thanks
as
for the
well.
Call.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate you. Yeah, if you haven't already gone out, if you've got an asparagus patch, if you haven't already gone out and cut the ferns down on your asparagus and then done a top dress and a little bit of fertilization on your asparagus, please go ahead and do that, because with this warmer weather and this lovely moisture, that asparagus patch is wanting to pop. This lady's mm-hmm. is already doing its thing. Mm-hmm. And an asparagus patch is a lovely thing mm-hmm. to have. Mm-hmm. There are patches and places, I think, hidden away probably in the valley that have literally gone on for decades.
Yeah, I bet.
It's just... Oh, my goodness. Fresh asparagus.
I know. I was just telling Rick, I want to go to the ditches, the irrigation ditches, mm-hmm. and try to find some mm-hmm. wild asparagus.
Wild asparagus.
Yes.
Nothing better. Mm-hmm. Nothing better. Mm-hmm. So the, let's see, where was I? Where were we? I forget where we were.
We were talking about the horses.
Oh, the horses. If you were wondering what we were talking about as far as those topiaries, these things, they're a wire frame mm-hmm. With chicken wire mm-hmm. stuffed with sphagnum moss, uh-huh. and then the legs, the body, everything is planted up. Mm-hmm. So it's just this giant...
Horse size.
Literally, when it's yes. time to move this back to its home, mm-hmm. it is loaded with a forklift. Mm-hmm. It's that
very
big.
Very carefully.
It's just
with several people helping.
Right, and it goes into the box truck, mm-hmm. and like loading a skittish horse. Mm-hmm. And so then there's one person on either side of it mm-hmm. as it makes its ride, mm-hmm. so it doesn't have a slip and fall.
I know.
It's a process.
It is, and it's so fun to watch them grow.
Yeah, and we have customers that beeline it back to the mm-hmm. back to see what the progress mm-hmm. is. They might come in maybe once a week or every 2 weeks or so just to see what the progress
right,
is
right.
on Iron Biscuit.
Right. And the other thing is we had a retail basket planting party this week. I missed it, but I heard there's going to be another one.
That's awesome.
Where I don't know how many were planting up. Was it like 500, 400 baskets? So now they're all hanging in the greenhouse, plus the moss baskets that were planted like maybe 2 months ago, or they're growing and flowering, and I don't know, things are shaping up at
right.
the greenhouse.
It's one of those cut to the chase. Mm-hmm. Everybody grab some gloves. Let's go find
right.
a great big pile of soil. Let's get our little flower plugs in order.
Yes.
And everybody...
They had sheets that had the patterns, how to, you know, which annual to plant or
and
which plant.
And we just bang them out. Just get her done.
It's so fun.
It is fun.
All the teamwork.
Indeed. We are up against our last commercial break. If you have a question, something on your mind, we'd love to talk to you. Please call us. Our number is 245-1100, 245-1100. Along with Steph Griggs, I'm Mona Dyer. This is Garden Talk, and we'll be right back.
It's that time again. Time to rev up your tax return during our annual Match Your Refund sales event. This is Trish at Modern Classic Motors, and this year we've teamed up with H&R Block, so it's easy peasy as can be to do your tax return and match your refund up to $2,500 on your down payment. Let Modern Classic Motors take down the stress of doing your taxes and rev up the car of your dreams. See us at mcmautos.com or at 975 Independent Avenue and see why it's the most fun you'll have buying a car.
Get a jump start on your to-do list now and enjoy your summer without it hanging over your head. Beat the crowd and schedule with Bemis Electric. Bemis Electric offers risk-free flat rate pricing and even same-day service on small jobs. Free quotes and job planning for your medium and larger projects. Looking to do some renovations around the house or adding to an existing project? The team at Bemis Electric has the skills and the experience to handle the job. Bring your home and workplace to life. Call 241-1426 or online at BemisElectric.com.
Hello gardeners, Bree here with Mount Garfield Greenhouse and Nursery. It might surprise you to know that we have an acre dedicated to trees and shrubs. From shade trees to evergreens, sun and shade loving shrubs, and a wide range of xeric and drought tolerant plants. With expert help, finding something you love for your yard is not hard to do. So come on in to Mount Garfield Greenhouse and Nursery and let's get growing.
Mount Garfield Greenhouse and Nursery, let's get growing.
1100 KNZZ, dependable weather.
Partly sunny Sunday, Grand Junction 59. Slight chance of showers in Moab 60. Mostly clear overnight 34. Sunny Monday 62.
Hey, I'm Mark Wahlberg, and this is my co-star Arthur.
What happened to you, boy?
My new movie is based on the true story of a dog who treks hundreds of miles to find someone to love him and ends up showing the whole entire world how extraordinary he is.
Come on, boy. Lead the way.
Arthur's not alone. There are dogs and cats in shelters all across the country hoping to find their very own people. And just like Arthur, they have this incredible ability to be an amazing friend. All they need is someone like you to show them the way home.
Oh, that dog just saved us.
Thank you. Best Friends Animal Society is working to make sure that every dog and cat in America has a chance to find a loving home of their very own. When you adopt your next pet from a shelter or a rescue group, you are helping to save the lives of pets like Arthur and so many others.
Come on, Arthur. This is our time.
Visit bestfriends.org today and find an adoptable pet near you.
That's what's up. Good job.
The Defenders of Liberty, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, Clay Travis, and Buck Sexton, inspired by Rush. We defend liberty every day. News Radio 1100, KNZZ, and 92.7 FM.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. An independent commission investigating a mass shooting that left 18 dead in Maine issued an interim report that has found a sheriff's office had cause to take the killer into protective custody and take his guns away beforehand. Democratic Governor Janet Mills and the Attorney General Aaron Frey assembled a commission to review both the events leading up to October 25th, when Army Reservist Robert Card killed 18 people in a bowling alley. A new sea route for aid delivery to Gaza has been opened, and the first ship carrying some 200 tons of assistance has arrived there. It's part of an effort that President Biden announced during his State of the Union address, saying that he would indeed try to get more humanitarian aid into Gaza. Authorities have issued a shelter-in-place order following the shooting of multiple people in a suburban Philadelphia township. This is SRN News.
Strolling down the red carpet of the right, Sean Hannity.
I don't deserve that, but thank you.
Weekday afternoons at 1 on 1100 KNZZ.
Welcome back to Garden Talk with your hosts from Booklet Gardens. Since 1968, where we help you grow.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Along with Steph Griggs, I'm Mona Dyer, and this is Garden Talk. Well, we asked, and boom, we have a full board. So we're going to jump into line one. Good morning, line one. How can we help?
Well, hi. This is Chris.
Hi, Chris. Good morning. How can we help?
And I got carried away and started my gourd seeds much too early this year. And they're already up about 2, maybe 3 inches, and they're getting their second leaves.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if I could actually grow them in pots.
You could, yes. You mean just go ahead and transfer them into a pot right now and just kind of baby them until it's warm enough to go outside?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? I mean, you could certainly give it a try. Maybe a little bit closer. Let's say a month from now. Maybe start an additional batch of seeds to be more in line with where the plants would typically be. But the ones that are already up and going, sure, give it a try. It can't hurt to
experiment.
Yeah, it can't hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Just transplant them into pots.
Sacrifice them.
Yeah. I hate to have you lose the effort. Just bump them into a little bit bigger pot and take care of them that way. Then let's say the end of April, start another batch of seeds.
Because that's kind of what we do at the nursery.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just bump them into
bump
a bigger pot. That's perfect.
Any special care that they should get in a larger pot?
Nope, just keep them damp. Water them and let the soil dry in between waterings, and give them as much light as you can manage so that they don't stretch out so long. The better the light, the shorter the plant will remain.
Yeah, okay.
Okay?
Okay. And does it have to be a regular, can it be a regular light bulb, or does it have to be one of those sunlight light bulbs?
Yeah, a grow light is going to provide more appropriate lighting. A regular light bulb doesn't provide the right kind of wavelength of light. You can actually find good LED grow lights virtually anywhere, and it can be fitted into any kind of a light fixture, any kind of a lamp. It's just a different kind of light wave that is delivered by that light bulb.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, we'll give it a try.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
You betcha. Have a great day. All righty. Let's see who we've got on line two. Good morning.
Good morning. Just wanted to ask you, elderberries, when is the best time to trim them? And what would stimulate the growth? And by the way, it's always so much fun to go down there and see you ladies and participate. I just love going to Book Cliff Gardens.
Thank you so
much. Well, thank you. That's very kind of you. So elderberries are one of those plants that you prune them and they'll start growing. Are these plants already pretty big?
No, they haven't grown a lot. They're kind of medium, but they're doing well.
All right, so maybe the thing to do with these guys, since they are just kind of putzing along, maybe rather than prune the entire plant back hard, maybe go in and just prune out maybe part of the canes. Take out maybe a third of the tall canes that are there to stimulate some additional stems down below. And see if we can get that plant to thicken up a little bit. You're not going to prune it from the top. You're going to look at it from ground level. Take out just a very few of the canes from down below to try to get it to thicken up.
Okay, that's very good. And by the way, congratulations, Mona, on 20 years at Book Cliff Gardens.
Aren't you nice? Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you so much. You have a great day, all of you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You too.
I love our loyal customers.
They're very nice. Thanks so much. All righty, we've got another call. Good morning, line three. How can we help?
Oh, okay. I have a Rose of Sharon.
Okay.
And last year, it was positively gorgeous. I mean, absolutely gorgeous.
Good.
But right now, it's got some of these branches that are hanging down. They're kind of hanging down over my herb garden.
Okay.
And I want to know, how far back can I cut these branches and still have this thing bloom the way it did last year?
Okay. So what you can do is the branches that are hanging over, start out at the end of that branch, and you just work backwards as far as you want to, until you get to the main stem. You can take it back all the way. That plant is going to be every bit as lovely if you head some of those side branches back. It'll be just fine. That plant is not going to be hurt or alarmed at all.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, yeah. I just want it to be beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, and they always are beautiful.
I love roses.
They will just be lovely.
They bloom for such a long time.
They do,
and that's the beauty of a rose of Sharon. It will start blooming typically about, let's call it Father's Day, end of June, mm-hmm. and usually they will go clear till frost,
it's
just
great.
Nonstop.
Yeah,
clear till frost. They're just glorious.
I know. I can hardly wait.
All right.
All of us.
Thank you.
You are
Thank
welcome. You have a
Bye.
Great day. Take care.
That's the thing with Rosa Sharon. You have to just be patient.
Yep. And they're kind of slow to wake up.
They are.
In the spring, you look at them and it's like, well, where are my leaves? Well,
yeah.
are you alive? You go out and kind of poke at it a little
mm-hmm.
bit. Are you in there? And then mm-hmm. poof, it starts to make leaves. And then all of a sudden, it's just flowery.
I know.
It's just glorious.
When we lived at our other house, Rick would say, I think we lost the Rose of Sharon over the winter. And I'd be, honey, just wait.
Enhance your calm.
Just wait.
Yeah.
It'll be okay.
If you are afraid that mm-hmm. the Rose of Sharon is not going to wake up, here's the
mm-hmm.
trick.
Mm-hmm.
Just go out. And you can nick the bark with your fingernail
right.
or your pocket knife or whatever. Just try to scratch the bark a
mm-hmm.
little bit. It will, if it's alive, it will scratch, it will nick easily, and you'll see just a teensy bit of green.
Yeah.
Teensy bit of green.
And the other cool thing with Rose of Sharon, and it happens not with just Rose of Sharon, but a lot of the other, like, I don't know, like flowering crab trees and... when Rose of Sharon comes out to bloom, we always say, be ready, because customers are going to come in and they're going to say, what is that beautiful shrub or tree that's blooming? I want one in my yard.
Mm-hmm.
And so we take them right out
mm-hmm.
to the Rose of Sharon.
People are very much
mm-hmm.
like bees and butterflies.
Right.
Bees and butterflies.
Yeah, like the pear trees. They're like, I need one of those. They're beautiful.
We gravitate toward the things that have pretty flowers.
That's true.
And so it's, if all else fails, if you see something that is absolutely lovely and you don't know what it is.
Yes.
Just snag some flowers.
Or
get
take a picture.
Yeah. A close picture.
Yes.
A close picture is helpful. If this plant is in somebody else's yard, it's always a good idea to ask the person whose house
always.
It is. It is always because I don't want to advocate having you try to sneak something
no.
out of a yard
no.
and then have that homeowner chase you with a stick. that's not what I'm advocating.
Yes.
But most of the time,
yes.
either the homeowner will know what that plant is and
mm-hmm.
they can tell you,
mm-hmm.
or if they don't know, they will happily share a photo
a clipping,
yes. so that you can bring it in
yes.
and it can be identified, and then you can have one of your very own.
I know. You know what? I'm waiting for the forsythia. That's my favorite thing. Is when like Papa Yellow.
They're so lovely.
I know.
They're so lovely. And a cool thing with forsythia, I try to have people. If they're thinking about doing any renovation or pruning on their forsythia, I like to have them wait until after it's already finished blooming, because
mm-hmm.
if you prune it, you're missing out on
right.
the flowers.
Just like the lilacs.
Right. Even
yeah.
even though on forsythia, the forsythia blooms all up and down the stems.
Mm-hmm.
But if there is some reason that the forsythia needs to be pruned,
mm-hmm.
or if you are just hungry for that pop of color
mm-hmm.
In a bouquet in the house,
right.
you can snip a few little stems of forsythia,
mm-hmm.
put it into a vase, bring it in the house, and it will bloom in the house and be absolutely
mm-hmm.
glorious.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to mix it with the sage.
Oh, my goodness. That's a lovely idea.
Yeah.
That is just a lovely idea.
Because yeah, we're all ready for some color, aren't we?
We are ready for some color. It's just, you know, looking out the kitchen window, there's just this big field of brown right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say that I would be happy to see purple mustard.
Yeah,
but I am a little tired of looking at the brown.
One cool thing, though, is like going down I-70, The globe willows. You can look across.
They're waking up.
They're waking up.
They
so
are waking
starting
up.
Starting to see some green.
And I have seen in little pockets here and there, even the cottonwood trees. The buds are swelling on the cottonwood trees. We're awfully close.
We are close.
We are awfully close to having things wake up.
We are.
And the ground, I know the ground is thawing out because when I was in the garden this morning, I actually should have put on my boots instead of going out there with my slippers. I will need to
wash the bottom of those slippers.
Well, I'll at least let the mud dry and then smack them together. That's outside because
that's a good trick.
I did get a little muddy.
Yes.
Just a touch
just
muddy.
A touch.
I'll blame it on the dogs.
It's mud season. Isn't it nice? Yeah.
Hey, I'm proud to say that we're actually getting a mud season.
Too.
I can't be more grateful for that.
Me too.
Golly.
Yeah.
Well, there's our traveling music.
It's been lovely this morning.
Thanks for all the calls, folks. We appreciate you taking the time to listen. We're easy to find. 755 26th Road, a mile and a half north of First and Patterson. Come see us.
Bye-bye.
Have a great morning.